It's a good occasion to speak because, you know, we just went through the 4th of July. The 4th of July for me, like, historically has been, you know, a time of, like, a lot of parties and drinking and, you know, just a lot of not sober behavior. And yesterday I had a 4th of July where I was just, it's just, like, pretty much me. I mean, it's just solitude. I really have a life of solitude now. I mean, I had some phone calls with some friends and family, some special people for me. I had some time in the ocean, which is a, you know, happy place for me. I went to a meeting, and I had, like, probably the best 4th of July ever. It was really good. I didn't feel any of the compulsion. I didn't feel like I have to be at parties or be around people or do anything. I just had to be myself, and I had a really great day. And I bring that up because it's the essence of this program for me has been finding or rediscovering joy in my life, having true joy, which had been co-opted by my behaviors and acting out. And it was, I don't know, I guess my story was just kind of like a slow, long crisis to the point. And then when I, you know, was about 35 years old, I realized, like, wow, I have a big problem. I need help. But this started a long time ago. Obviously, like everyone here, it started as a kid. You know, I had really romantic inclinations as a little kid. I think I had, like, a perfectly normal, like, you know, teen, I don't know, like 10 to 13. I had, like, normal, I don't know, emotional feelings for women, crushes. I was, like, kind of a romantic, actually, to be honest. But my sex life really just got off on the wrong path, I'd say. When I was 14 years old, it has a lot to do with family. When I was 14 years old, I had my first sexual experience. I was with a sex worker. It was paid for and organized by my dad, which it just was not a great way to start with sex. I think it immediately got me started on sexual intensity from a really young age, and I didn't have maybe just a healthy interaction with women. And it just set me off on a path that I don't think my heart was really headed that way, but I, you know, life. Anyway, just life happened, and I went a different direction. So that was kind of my first experience. From there, I started developing, like, a really severe addiction to pornography. When I was a teenager as well. And that kind of stayed with me, honestly, until I started working this program. So it's like nearly 20 years, but I would say I had some really big problems. I also just grew up in a culture with a lot of men who were womanizing and philandering and being deceptive with women. So I just kind of saw that growing up. I thought it was totally normal male behavior. I thought as long as you, like, keep it together, keep the control, you know, and keep the vibes good and keep secrets, get really good at keeping secrets, then it's, like, all good. You know what I mean? Like, no one has to know. Just that's, I am genuinely, I know I'm sharing that. It sounds probably horrible, but, like, that is really what I thought men do. And it came as a shocker as I started to get into, like, bad relationship after bad relationship with women who I was hurting, really. Not intending to hurt them, but, like, I really just was being very hurtful. I realized eventually that I had a problem, like something was not right, you know. And so anyway, I got into a relationship in my 30s that was really a toxic relationship that I really, really struggled with. And at that point, I started to notice that I was totally, like, powerless over this thing. Like, I could not stop going back to this one person who was really not good for me. And I, it was the first time, I will say, that I was, like, starting to ask for help. Because, I thought earlier, like, it was all about having control. Like, if you're a man, you have control of the situation, you know? Like, you know how to keep everyone in their places, you know what to say to everyone to make sure the vibes stay good. But I lost control. Like, I had no, I really didn't know what I was doing anymore. I would just show up at her house. I didn't even know how I would get there sometimes. I know that sounds crazy, but maybe you guys understand. I really didn't know how I would get to her place sometimes. And I asked for help. Like, I asked my therapist. I was like, I like don't know what to do. And the therapist said, well, you should go to SLA, like, tonight. And you're like, you have to go tonight, actually. Like, I'm not going to work with you unless you go and start working. And so that's five? Okay, so I was so, like, I did not think I was an addict. Like, I really did. I thought, like, this is totally useless. Like, sex, that doesn't exist, sex and love addiction. But I came to the meeting, wasn't this meeting, it was on the east side, and I just was like, wow. It just hit me, like, this has definitely been my life for 20 years. And I was a little ashamed to be at the meetings, to be honest. I know there's no newcomers in here, but I kept coming back. I was like, I need to do this. Like, I need to, I had this distinct feeling if I stayed with this woman that it may sound exaggerated, but I had this feeling that I was going to die. Like, I thought, like, my life, maybe not immediately, but I thought my life was going to be shorter because of all the stuff that we were into. And so I just kept coming, you know, I kept coming, and I didn't really know what I was doing at first. I just showed up, and eventually I was like, oh, this is actually a spiritual program. Like, people are doing spiritual work in here. And so then I started going back and sort of developing a relationship with higher power and getting into the top line behaviors. I had my first sponsor was like kind of a drill sergeant. He was like, you got to meditate twice a day. You got to do these top lines. You got to check in with me. You got to read all these different books. He gave me like this literature list. And it really like got me on the path, you know, it got me on the path. And I cut off contact with that woman. I don't watch pornography anymore. Pornography was a big, big problem for me. I've been 19 months now without pornography, thank God. I really say this, like, I am now a person of integrity, and I do not lie or deceive women. I do not, or men either, for that matter. And if you talk to people who knew me before, like, they would probably tell me that that's who I am, you know? But I'm not that, and I'm really proud I can say that. And I'm joyful that I can say that. Like, I'm a person of integrity. I'm a good person. I treat people with respect, and I treat men and women with respect. And I'm capable of intimacy. So I'm not going through all my affirmations. I do a lot of affirmations. It's part of my work. But it's true. And I really enjoy everyone here. I know it's really no newcomers here. But the power of positive affirmations, the power of daily spiritual contact with your higher power through meditation and prayer. I never prayed ever before. I grew up in a family where spirituality was not allowed, basically, because it was addiction. There was a lot of addiction in my family. And spirituality is a threat to all addiction. So in my family, you couldn't be spiritual in any way. Like, you were going to get your ass kicked. So now, I let that happen, though. I let myself have a relationship with, you know, it's not dogmatic, but I have my conceptions. I have my spiritual guides. I check in every day. I check in with my fellows. You know, I check in with my fellows. I learn a lot from people in recovery. I've heard about this even like neuroscientifically. Being around people in recovery helps your brain. Helps rewire your brain. When you're in addiction, your friends are all wingmen, and they're all helping you stay in addiction. You know, it's like addicts are always available. I mean, it's like, seriously, always available to do the things that they're into. So in order to change, you have to change your friends, change your group of friends and associations to people in recovery. And then you start to hear and learn from people in recovery. One of the greatest joys for me is, you know, I work with a sponsor now who's shown me like a totally different conception of masculinity than I grew up with. Like, I really completely different. And I now have this idea that you can be a man and be honest and be monogamous and be very masculine. You know what I mean? It's not, this conception I had before has really been disrupted. Thank you. And that's in part working with my sponsor is a great example of that. And also other fellows in this program. I just see a different way of being a man, which has really, really been healing for me. The spiritual program, that is the spiritual basis of what we do here, and that's the power that we can draw upon, because when it's ourselves making those decisions, like, at least for me, speaking for myself, I am often not going to make the right decision, but my higher power will make the right decision for me, and so I put it up, I talk to people, I lean on my top line behaviors, which are being in nature, surfing, sailing, and martial arts, which is cultivating the physical practice where I get to feel, you know, strong and capable. And it keeps me on the right path, you know. And so that's what makes it possible for me to have a 4th of July where I don't have one drink of alcohol. I'm not talking or texting with any women. And I feel super happy and good about my life. I feel like I'm really full. And I enjoy my time, thank God, instead of being chained to my compulsions. Mm. So I'll leave you with that. Thank you. All right.